welcome to Bear Soup. This is your host, Ron Suresha. We have an excellent program this week, so settle down into the Bear Soup hot tub with an adult beverage of your choice and listen up, bears. We have another reading from the book, Fairies, Bears, and Leathermen, Men in Community Queering the Masculine by Peter Hennin. A query for long-term cohabitating triads. A review of content in the latest issues of the National Bear magazines, Bear, Beef, and ABL. An article in A Bear's Life on the movie Outrage and my outraged comments. A push for change for polar bears in 2009, an appeal from the World Wildlife Fund. Funny little woof tease designs. The new Bear Gold Lifestyle Membership Card. Best of Bears 2009. Shoutouts, announcements, and the usual furtastic puns and audio falderall. Sit back and enjoy the bubbles. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for listening to episode number 55 of the Bear Soup podcast, streaming online at bearradio.net, Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific times.
It's the gayest show in the fucking world.
Please support Bear Radio by helping with your donations, by supporting our advertisers, and by tuning your furry ears in. Bear Soup is Bear Podcast of the Year 2006. And this is your host, Mr. Bear of the Year 2008, according to the independent poll taken by our friends at thecompletebear.com. More on the Best of Bear 2009 later on. I'm casting my pod to you through the mysterious tubes of the internets from southeastern coastal Connecticut. Presumably, you can tell without seeing me that I'm recording this stark naked in a bubbling hot tub. Bear Soup is proudly sponsored by our buds at Bear Bones Books. Check them out at BearBonesBooks.com. First up, we have a reading from the Queer Men's Studies book, Fairies, Bears, and Leathermen, by Peter Hennin. The first part of the section, A Brief History of Bears. Here's another selection from Peter Hennin's book, Fairies, Bears, and Leathermen, which references my book, Bears on Bears, a great number of times. Here's a selection from Chapter 4, A Brief History of Bears. In addition to its appeal as a hedge against effeminacy and its eroticization of the heavier body, the bear phenomenon features at least two additional factors contributing to its emergence during the 1980s. One was unquestionably the AIDS pandemic and the effect of AIDS-related wasting syndrome on the erotic imagination of gay men. In an era when thinness could be linked with disease and death, the fleshier body was reinterpreted as an indicator of health, vigor, strength, and virility. The second contributing factor was the bear movement's ability to co-opt an existing subculture that had been operating on an informal basis for decades prior to the bear's arrival on the scene. In 1976, a national network of chubbies, big men, and chasers, men who were sexually attracted to chubbies, emerged as a new national organization called Girth and Mirth. A dozen years later, as the bears became a recognizable subculture within the gay community, an uneasy relationship developed between the two groups as significant numbers of men left Girth and Mirth chapters to join bear clubs. One reason for the out-migration from Girth and Mirth may be the more appealing imagery employed by the bears. The iconic figure of the bear was enormously successful in linking the bigger body with nature, the wilderness, and more conventional notions of masculinity. Indeed, to fully appreciate the bear phenomenon, one must acknowledge its place in the broader spectrum of return-to-nature masculinity movements dating back at least two centuries. American history reveals richly sedimented associations between the wilderness and escape from the perceived feminizing forces of civilization. In the early decades of the 19th century, popular biographies of pioneers and backwoodsmen offered accessible literary escapes. By the 1840s and 1850s, Kit Carson, Daniel Boone, and Davy Crockett all became mythic heroes when their biographies were rewritten as primitivist narratives of innate, instinctual manhood. Of course, those men who were not satisfied with mere fantasies could escape in reality to the vast American frontier. Immediately after the closing of the frontier in the latter half of the 19th century, an enthusiastic nostalgia developed that seemed to serve the same purpose. Rodeos, Wild West shows, cowboy lore, and wilderness adventure novels were all extremely popular during this time. Like the image of the bear, a cowboy on a bronco symbolizes the rugged individuality of the Western man and beast, a true taste of the wild and woolly. More recently, the mythopoetic men's movement has stressed the importance of rediscovering various masculine archetypes, a process that is apparently greatly facilitated by drumming rituals in remote forested areas. The radical fairies can in many ways be seen as echoing this impulse in that most fairy gatherings are held in remote rural areas. But the bear phenomenon is remarkable in that, despite its reprisal of the time-honored masculine call of the wild and its lush backwoods imagery, it has been nurtured and sustained almost exclusively in urban settings. For example, several of the stories I consulted mentioned the 1950s gladiator movies of the actor Steve Reeves as a formative cultural influence on bear culture. One source even specified that it was the films in which Reeves appeared bearded that really provided the impetus for the eroticization of the hairy male body. Another example is the oft-noted predilection of bears for computer technology and internet communication. Michael Bronsky, quoted in Serratia, links this to the inauthenticity of the natural that informs bear imaginings. Here's a quote from Bronsky. Bear culture is paradoxical. Anyone really brought up in the wild knows that it is not half as romantic as bear images try to make it. It is an urban fantasy about what a world in the wild would look like, the artificiality of the so-called natural. I think that is why so many bears are in love with cyberspace. The bear idol has always taken place in a cyberspace, which is nostalgia for something that never was. I haven't noted all of the citations here, but you can find them all in Chapter 4, A Brief History of Bears, in Peter Henin's book, Fairies, Bears, and Leathermen. I have a query here from a hairy queer for long-term cohabitating triads for a new masculinities research study project to be of interest and value to the gay and bisexual male community, and I need your assistance in locating research subjects. I'm seeking long-term, at least 1 year, cohabitating male triads in North America with all partners willing to participate in an interview. Please send basic contact information, any leads, and include as much information as you can, names, ages, locations, email or phone number, to me at maletriads@gmail.com. I'll spell that maletriads@gmail.com, or by snail mail at RJS, care of Post Office Box 2278, New London, Connecticut, 06320. If you personally know a triad and can send me their contact information, I would greatly appreciate your assistance and be happy to include you in the acknowledgments of the final research paper. Many thanks. So now we have the Bear Magazine Roundup. starting with, in no particular order, A Bear's Life magazine. On the cover, there are two guys head-to-head lying down in the grass, falling in love. The good, bad, and inspirational is the theme of that photo. There's an inside front cover ad for Logo online. A letter from the editor-in-chief, Steve-O. Reader's Mail. Mystic Panda. Bear Spirit. Media Bears. Bear Cuisine. How We Met. The Domestic Diva. Bear Style. Doctor's Advice. The Bear Cave. Vet's View. Ursus Noir. Parenting. Love, 30 Years and Counting. Mind of a Chaser. A Cartoon, Indestructibear and Action Cub. A Cub's Life. Community Spotlight on Dean Banowitz. Perspective, Life After Cancer. Hot Licks. Book Bear Reviews. Car Bear Raider. Ursine Adventurer in Seattle. Love, The Perfect Life After Hello. Beartronics. Run Listings. Sports. Honeypot. Bear Maintenance. Green Man. Health and Fitness. Final Thought. And Astro Bear, done by my friend Wayne Koppelman. The Media Bears column, in particular by John Edward Campbell, I find of interest. It interviews one of the producers of the documentary Outrage, which takes on the ethics and morals of homosexual anti-gay politicians. Here's a short excerpt from the article. Question: What led you and Mr. Dick to take on this particular topic? Amy Ziering said, Kirby Dick, the director, was in D.C. promoting This Film Is Not Yet Rated, and during a lunch conversation, someone mentioned to him that they thought Karl Rove was gay. This piqued Kirby's curiosity, and so he started asking more questions about D.C. and its gay population, and learned that there are a great number of closeted staffers and legislators working in D.C., and that this fact had very deleterious repercussions not only to the individuals leading lives of duplicity, but to our society as a whole. He called me and asked if I wanted to work with him on a film that explored this topic. As I've long been a gay rights advocate, I said, absolutely. Question: Unlike Michael Moore or Bill Maher, Mr. Dick does not include himself in the film. What led to this stylistic choice? Amy said, Kirby's stylistic choices are determined by what each of his film projects demands and merits. Although we did consider having him appear in this film, the narrative and research ended up not warranting his on-camera inclusion. We thought that space was best filled by the activist blogger who is featured in the film, Mike Rogers. Mike had a more direct link and connection to the activities the film was engaged in recounting. Question: What were some of the unique challenges you and Mr. Dick confronted in doing this film? Amy: Getting people to speak on the record. Getting people to come forward and speak candidly about their experiences living in the closet. The people engaging in this duplicity, as well as those around them, are highly invested in protecting this secret at all costs. The extent to which this was true made connecting with potential subjects for our film and conducting our investigative research extremely challenging. I have not seen the film. It has not yet been released on DVD, and it has not played in a theater near me. But I'm curious why A Bear's Life did not interview Mike Rogers, who's connected to the film and connected to the bear community. Actually, the director, Kirby Dick, through Mike Rogers, arranged to interview me by way of phone. Unfortunately, Kirby stopped my interview with Mike Rogers, saying he was only taking first-hand accounts of homosexual activity with closeted politicians. I was quite surprised by Kirby's cutting short the interview, because I had information about people who said that they saw George W. Bush performing expert fellatio on another man. However, the director's choice is his own, and I was sorry to not be able to participate in the film. But that's the way it goes sometimes. In any case, I do hope that you get to see the film. I hope that I get to see the film as well. And I hope that it has a good effect. Next in our Bear Magazine roundup, we have 100% Beef Magazine, issue number 44, a man's magazine, now in full color. Aside from the ads and the letter from the editor, we have the cartoon Beer Can and Saurus. There is the fantastic photography of Inked Kenny, photos by John Bruno of Moose, the Wovable Oaf, a profile on artist Ed Luce, hanging out with Hogs Dogs, all amateur bears, the Don Chewy Doodles, Dirty Thoughts from The Voice 666, Road Trip to San Francisco Pride, The Kitchen Sink, Slurpee Saturday, fiction by Brent Radner, Road Trip to Lazy Bear 2009, Organically Orgasmic Energy, Interview with the Verve Guys, Steve LeBeau and Mike Roscoe, In the Butcher Shop, Wooferine, the Media Beef column by my friend Chris Witke, Mailroom, and the Road Trip to P-Town Bear Week 2009. And finally, we have Bear Magazine, the front cover of Xavier, or maybe it's Javier, Xavier XXX in O's. Oh my gosh, he is very hot. And in this issue, there's the editorial, holding on to your mojo, celebrity photographer Blake Little, fast tracks, trappings, travel to Buenos Aires, sex play, lift that load, their music column, their featured model, Xavier, humor, fiction, a story called Planet Fuck Part 2, more men, runs and events, their calendar of events, very woofy stuff. This has been a roundup of your bear-themed magazines. Next time they all come out around the same time, we'll look them through again and report to you. Next, we have A Push for Change for Polar Bears in 2009. No, I'm not talking about our gray and silver-haired daddies and grandpas in the bear community. I'm talking about real four-legged polar bears. The World Wildlife Fund is a leader in polar bear conservation, and their website is www.worldwildlife.org. With 20 to 25,000 polar bears living in the wild, the species is not currently endangered, but its future is far from certain. In 1973, Canada, the United States, Denmark, Norway, and former USSR signed the International Agreement on the Conservation of Polar Bears and Their Habitat. This agreement restricts the hunting of polar bears and directs each nation to protect their habitats, but it does not protect the bears against the biggest man-made threat to their survival. Climate change. If current warming trends continue unabated, scientists believe that polar bears will be vulnerable to extinction within the next century. World Wildlife Fund provides funding to field research by the world's foremost experts on polar bears to find out how climate change will affect the long-term status of polar bears. To learn more about the topic, check out the WWF report, Polar Bears at Risk, and Vanishing Kingdom, The Melting Realm of the Polar Bear, on their website. Why is the polar bear important? Of all the wildlife species in the Arctic, the polar bear is perhaps the most fitting icon for this ecoregion. Its amazing adaptations to life in the harsh Arctic environment and dependence on sea ice make them so impressive and yet so vulnerable. Large carnivores are sensitive indicators of ecosystem health. Polar bears are studied to gain an understanding of what is happening throughout the Arctic, as a polar bear at risk is often a sign of something wrong somewhere in the Arctic marine ecosystem. The World Wildlife Fund works to fund field research by the world's foremost experts on polar bears to find out how climate change will affect the long-term condition of polar bears, to work with governments, industry, and individuals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and mitigate climate change, to promote sustainable consumptive and non-consumptive use of polar bears that directly affect the species, such as hunting, poaching, industrial take, illegal trade, and unsustainable tourism. To protect critical habitat, including important movement corridors and denning habitat. And to prevent or remove direct threats from industrial activity, such as oil and gas development and Arctic shipping. The action that the WWF takes include providing support for and communication of key science that will help us build resilience, engaging with indigenous and local communities to reduce human-wildlife conflicts and work towards sustainable development opportunities, and drafting and spearheading management solutions that address the major threats of climate change and industrialization of the Arctic. Please read more about World Wildlife Fund's work to stop climate change and to help save polar bears. Check them out at worldwildlife.org. While the Huzz Bear and I were on the set as extras for the film Bear City, we met a couple of guys who were also extras wearing the most fabulous t-shirts. Rex and his partner from Charlotte, North Carolina, and they are the proprietors and designers for Woof Tees Designs, which produces a variety of humorous and spoof t-shirts. They have a number of shirts that are takeoffs of well-known brand names, such as Abercubby, after Abercrombie and Fitch, Red Bear, like Red Bull, Charlie's Bears, as in Charlie's Angels, Hello Cubby, done up as Hello Kitty, Play Bear, done up like the Playboy Bunny logo, Bear Bee, done in a script like Barbie, then there's I Paw symbol, NY, PILF, which I presume stands for Bears I'd Love to Fuck, Bear Tender, My Other Shirt is Chest Hair, Teenage Mutant Ninja Bears, and I Kissed a Bear and I Liked It. Check them out at wooftease.com. That's spelled wooftease.com. And tell them Bear Soup sent you.
BTWFYIWTFOMGGG.
Here's some information from an invitation that I received on Facebook that I thought would be of interest. Beginning October 15th, 2009, being a bear has a whole new meaning. A Bear's Life magazine introduces the ABL Gold Lifestyle membership card. As a Gold Card member, you'll receive perks and discounts from hotels, restaurants, and retailers from across the U.S. and Europe. Every week, we'll be adding new participating companies to the list as your savings throughout the year will grow. As a member, you will also receive your personalized Gold membership card, complimentary digital copy of A Bear's Life, one-year renewals on your paper subscription, monthly emails of upcoming events and specials, complimentary entry to specific ABL-sponsored events, discounts at participating shops, restaurants, and hotels. We are offering an introductory price of $95 for the card before December 31st. Once you receive the card, 30 days after registration, you may enjoy your discounts immediately, but your membership will begin on January 1st, 2010, and will be good for 1 year. We also have a special promotion for bear clubs. Any local bear club that registers with us will get $5 back from any club member to help support their organization. Club officers must register with ABL prior to any rebate. A portion of the proceeds will be placed in the Bear's Life Fund to be donated to various charities throughout the year. Go to www.abearslifemag.com and click on Gold Card to purchase before October 15th. I don't know if I'll actually be signing up, but check it out and get yours now. As I mentioned earlier, Bear Soup Podcast was named the best beer podcast of the year several years ago, and I had the honor of being voted Bear of the Year 2008 by Gottfur, also known as thecompletebear.com. Again, we have gotten an announcement from Gottfur of their fourth annual poll, the very best in all things Ursine. 2009 Best of the Bears will be taking nominations until November 15th. Voting will be from November 16th until December 31st. The categories include Bear of the Year, Best Bear Website, Best Bear Blog or Podcast, Best Bear Porn Site, Best Bear Video, Best Bear Book, Best Bear Porn Star, Best Bear Business, Best Bear Publication, Best Bear Club or Organization, Best Bear Run, Best Bear Bar, Best Bear Fundraiser, Best Bear Campsite or Accommodations, Best Bear Resource, Best Bear Artist, and Best Bear Performer. I'll be nominating Bear Soup for Best Bear Blog or Podcast. I'll be nominating Bears on Bears Revised Edition by myself, published by Bare Bones Books, for the Best Bear Book of the Year. And I hope I'll be nominated again for Bear of the Year. Why not go for two in a row? Send your nominations to info@thecompletebear.com. Shoutouts! First, music, as usual, by the Mermen. A shout-out to my husband for 5 wonderful years of marriage. Father Tony at the Bilirico blog. Scott and Mike. And some shout-outs to the other Bearcasts, which you should check out. Bear Podcast with the Nard, Thursdays and Sundays, 10 p.m. on Bear Radio. Cubs Out Loud, Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Bear Radio. Bears in the City, with my mate Seamus and 4 other sexy Oz Bears on iTunes. And the Cubby House Horde, with my mate Jack and 2 cute Oz Cubs, also on iTunes. And that's it for Bear Soup this week. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to episode number 55 of the Bear Soup Podcast. Bear Soup is news, opinions, stories, and interviews for the bear community. Please click the Bear Soup link on my blog at www.ronsurasha.com, spelled ronsurasha.com. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bear Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BearBonesBooks.com. Look for me also on Facebook, and please feel free to contact me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to Bear Soup.